Ask you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 146 as we continue our study in the book of Psalms. And let's begin with a word of prayer this morning before we enter into this time of teaching. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, and you are worthy of praise. For you have done all things well. You have done all things good. You are the great and mighty God. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you have done. We praise you for what you have made us. You've made us children of God. So thank you so much for the precious gift of Christ as we begin this month to focus upon the giving of your Son, the birth of our Savior. We pray, Father, that you would help us not to miss the true meaning of Christmas. And so we lift that up to you. I pray, Father, today that as we look into your word, that you would speak to us, and would you encourage us through the psalmist to praise you, to be committed to and be resolute in the idea of praising you no matter what circumstance we face in life. And so, Lord, we lift this time up to you, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Psalm 146, let's look at this psalm this morning and consider the idea of praising God. Listen to the words of the psalmist as we continue our study here. He says in Psalm 146, verse 1, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith," literally, "who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free." We say amen to that, for we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and Christ set us free. "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." As we think of this song and as we enter into this series of psalms, Psalm 146 through 150, there's no doubt an emphasis on the idea of praising God. And we're going to see that throughout this, not only this psalm here, Psalm 146, but throughout the remainder of the psalms that are before us. This psalm is too, as well, tied to Psalm 146. It carries in Psalm 146, we see once again all the major themes that we have seen within our study of the book of Psalms. We see God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We see God who is the one who blesses the people that are his. We see God who is the one who reigns over the wicked. Remember in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, we saw there the idea of the two categories of people, those that are the righteous, God's people, and those that are the wicked, separated from God. We also see the idea, once again, of God's hope in Zion. Notice once again in verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. It's a loaded verse there. The idea of the Lord reigning eternally. And he reigns out of Zion. And he does so to all generations. Obviously, once again, as we think of the book of Psalms, we can't help but think about the idea of Messiah. The idea that God indeed was going to place his son, the Messiah, upon the throne of Mount Zion. We know him to be Christ himself. And so when we think of Psalm 146, we see once again the congruity of the idea that it fits in with the rest of the book of the Psalms. It fits in very well with the major themes that have been developed within the book of the Psalms. But we also see connections to Psalm 145. Back in Psalm 145, as Dan preached on this passage last week, we saw in verse 2, "And I will praise your name forever and forever." And in verse 2, we see, "I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being forever and forever." So this idea of the eternal worship of God and praise of God. We see the idea of God reigning in verses 11 and 12. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Once again, the reign and the rule of God. And as we saw in verse 10, the idea of God once again proclaiming the idea that he would rule or reign out of Zion. So the power of God, the reign of God, the idea that God lifts up the humble in verse 14. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 146. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. So once again, we see a connection here. The idea of the wicked in 145, God said, through the psalmist, the Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And then we saw in Psalm 145 or 146, as we were reading that, that the Lord thwarts the plans of the wicked, his rule and reign over the wicked. So Psalm 146 really does flow very nicely from Psalm 145 and carries on the main ideas that we've already seen throughout the book of Psalms. This psalm is no doubt a psalm of praise. And I would say the book of Psalms is a psalm of praise. It's a wonderful book for us to use in our time of prayer. It's a wonderful book for us to use in our time of praising God because it gives us much instruction on who God is and why he is worthy of our total praise. So think about the book of Psalms. As a major theme within the book of Psalms, we see the idea of praise. I just did a simple word search yesterday on the word that is used here in Psalm 146, halal, praise. 89 times it occurs in the book of Psalms in 72 verses. 89 times we see that word used in the book of Psalms to encourage us to praise the Lord or to instruct us that God is worthy of praise or he is to be the attention of all of our praise. And it's interesting as you follow that word throughout the book of Psalms that it grows in its use. There is a mountain, if you will, of praise that is occurring within the book of Psalms so that there is a climax at the end of the book. I've got a chart here that I had Joey copy for us. And so this is the occurrence of that word halal. And look at the occurrences that happen throughout the book of Psalms. And then look at the very end in Psalms 146 through 150. Look at the spike that takes place and the idea, the crescendo, if you will, of God being praised by his people. So the psalmist is leading us up. He's leading us up to the idea of praising God, of worshiping God. And here at the end of the book, he hits that so hard. Praise the Lord. In fact, if you will take the time later to look at Psalms 146 through 150, you'll notice that each one of these psalms in this group, the five psalms, begins with the idea, praise the Lord, and ends with the phrase, praise the Lord. Every one of these psalms begins with, praise the Lord. And every one of these psalms ends with the idea, praise the Lord. And Psalm 150, we know that psalm well, do we not? We're going to see the psalmist there numerous times say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And so there is a growing sense, if you will, there's a growing weight to the idea of praising God here at the end of the book of Psalms. And to me, it's an encouragement to us that our life is to be a praise to God. A praise to God. Think about Psalms 113 to 118 are known as praise hymns. But these psalms are also known as praise hymns. In a shorter sense, they are shorter psalms. But they focus on the idea of praising God. Not only that he is worthy of it. Not only that he deserves it. But that we have an obligation to praise God. So here's a key thought for you this morning to take away from Psalm 146. Psalm 146. God's divine perfections warrant comprehensive praise. God's divine perfections, the idea of all of his attributes, communicable, incommunicable. Those that we share with him, those that we don't share with him, those that we have a likeness with him in, and those that we don't have a likeness. God is infinite. We are not infinite. And God's perfections, all of his perfections, warrant the idea of our comprehensive praise. Not only our praise, but all of creation is made to praise God. So God's divine perfections warrant comprehensive praise. We're going to see that fleshed out in this psalm in particular, the idea that we are to praise him with all of our being. Listen to the psalms in Psalm 145 once again. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I love that. David, when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle, he had this song of praise. And as I was reading this song of praise once again in the New American Standard, it said a psalm of thanksgiving. I thought this would be a great Thanksgiving passage one day. But listen to just part of this. It actually begins in verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. But let me pick it up in verse 23. David says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations." I love that, don't you? From day to day. Whereat? Among all the nations. His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. That's the promise of God. That Abraham, through Abraham, one would come that would be a blessing to all the nations, all the peoples. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord our God made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord," that is, "give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established and it will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations." I love that. The nations. That's one of the things that we added within the Constitution and bylaws, is a focus on the nations. That we are here to reach the nations. We are part of that. We're part of the idea of being Gentiles. But we are to reach every tribe and people and tongue and nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here it says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. That's a joy for us. It's a fear to many, but it's a joy to us that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is returning one day to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Praise the Lord. The psalmist here is encouraging us in the idea that all of God's perfections, all of his divine perfections, make him worthy of complete praise. Our whole life and all of creation was made to praise him. Let's define the idea of praise, because it was once again one of those words that we use a lot, but maybe don't completely understand. We actually get our word hallelujah from this phrase here in the Hebrew. It's actually two words that are put together. Halal, the idea to praise, and Yah, the idea of Yahweh. And so when we say hallelujah, I know that word has lost its use and significance within our culture today. It really means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise itself can be used in various ways, and we do praise other people. We praise other things, but ultimately the psalmist is talking about praising, praise that is directed to God, Yahweh, our God, our creator, our personal God. So back in Genesis chapter 12, this word halal is used with the idea of praising Sarah for her beauty. For example, it came about when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her. They said, "Wow, she's a beautiful woman. Hello. She's worthy of admiration. There's something about her that stands out amongst from all the other women. Look at her. Let me remind you that there is one that is more worthy of praise than Sarah. God himself is the maker of all things, and he is the one who is ultimately the beauty that we should be captivated by. Psalmist in Psalm 27, I was thinking about this morning. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Words used in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25, with the idea of praising Absalom. Absalom was known to be a handsome man. Now, in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised. Hello. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no defect found in him. But I would say to you, there is one that is greater than Absalom. Remember that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God without any defect. No imperfection found in him at all. Remember that when Jesus was being tried and he came before Pilate, Pilate brought him out and said, I find nothing wrong in this man. He didn't know the seriousness of the statement that he had made. He didn't know the depth of the statement that he was making, that indeed there was nothing wrong in Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So praise. But here, once again, the psalmist is speaking to the idea of praising God. We are to encourage one another. We are to lift one another up. No doubt, the Apostle Paul talks about that, that we're to build one another up. But ultimately, we are to praise God. He is the one that is worthy of all praise. So here's the challenge for today. And I think the challenge comes from our passage here. The challenge would be the idea of a commitment to praise the Lord. A commitment to praise the Lord. I was thinking about it this way. We many times ask people, how's your prayer life? How's your time in the Word of God? How is your walk with God? I wonder if we shouldn't ask the question, how is your praise of the Lord? Are you praising God as you should? How is the graph of your praise? Is it when circumstances are good, your praise is high? We see it a lot. Or is when the circumstances are tough, does your praise dip? We should have a continuous act of praise to God because he is always good. Always good. Notice that it's a command in verse 1 that is given to us. It's not, once again, just a suggestion, but it is a command that is given in verse 1 and verse 10 that we are to praise the Lord. It is a command, not only from the psalmist, but it is a command from God. We were made to worship God. We were made to bless God. We were made to praise God. It's a command. Now, we're good when times are good, aren't we not? It's good. When times are good, it's easy to praise God when times are good. At least, should I say, maybe easier. Because even when times are good sometimes, we focus more on the good times than we do on the one who made the times good. Don't we? I find myself doing that all the time. I'm sure that I'm not alone in that. I ask God for something, and sometimes I'll ask God in a time of instant need. I'll ask God, and he'll answer the prayer, and then I'm more excited about what happened than the one who made it happen. We have to be careful, regardless of what the circumstances are. But I love the way that the psalmist addresses the idea of praise, no matter what the circumstances are. Depression, for example. Praising God in the midst of depression. Did you know that although you may struggle with depression, that God still commands you to praise him? He commands you to praise him. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 42:11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. What is the response that we should have in our times of depression? I know that it's difficult. And we all, I think that we all struggle with different levels of depression. We really do. We all struggle with different struggles in life. And the psalmist tells us when we find ourselves in the midst of depression that we should commit ourselves to praising God because God is greater than our depression. No matter what is causing the depression, God is greater. And many times we are in a state of depression because we are looking inwardly instead of upwardly. Oppression and times of oppression as well. The psalmist deals with that. We should praise the Lord in times of oppression. Psalm 71, verse 13. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, there it is. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. When the enemy comes against us, the tendency is to quiet ourselves, to retreat, to think that some way, somehow, that if we are quiet, the enemy will go away. But the enemy will not go away. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that is taking place. And what is the response that we should have in the midst of oppression, in the face of our enemies? It is the idea, I will praise the Lord more and more. Oh, that we would have a heart like the psalmist, that when oppressors come against us, it would spur us on to praise God instead of retreating in our praise to God. At all times. Psalm 34, verse 1, listen to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. I love that. At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise the Lord. The psalmist here, no doubt, is focusing on the idea not only that God is worthy of our praise, but that we have an obligation to praise God. So let me give you today, let's focus on ourselves and let's maybe make a resolution or three resolutions today following the example of the psalmist. Let's make a commitment today that we will praise the Lord, that we will praise the Lord with all of our life. All of our life. Verse 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I love the way the psalmist gives a command here and yet afterwards follows his own advice. He is a leader in example. He's not just going to tell us to praise the Lord, but he's going to say, I'm committed to praising the Lord with my life as well. I love how he speaks to himself here. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There are times that we must encourage ourselves to praise the Lord. Are there not? There are difficulties that pose a threat to our praise of God. There are circumstances that come our way at times to try and sidetrack us or derail us from praising God. And we must say to ourselves, don't be caught up in that. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. With my soul, nephesh, my life, my passion, my inner being. We're not just talking, the psalmist is not just talking about outward actions. Although I will say, inward passion for God always leads to outward actions. Always. There is nothing that we can separate the idea of inward and outward here. Praise of God begins inside. It's something that's in our soul. And I would say to you, it begins with a work of God. A work of God. Many outward actions are only the result of religion. Religion. Listen, we have children, we raise them up, we teach them things, and they will follow our example, will they not? If we give them a good example, they will follow our example, but yet it may just be outward expressions. Is there anything inside? We have to work with our children to teach them the idea of God regenerating our souls. Psalmist says, oh my soul, not just my hands, not just my feet, not just my eyes, not just my mouth, not just my ears, but Lord, my soul, touch my soul, touch me deep within inside me, at my very being. God, help me to praise you with all that I am. He says, I will praise you with my soul, my life, my person, my passion. I will praise you with my living, with my ambition. Look what he says once again. I will praise the Lord while I live. As long as I live, I will praise the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, my purpose on this earth is to praise God. He's saying, if I live to be 20, I will praise God. If I live to be 120, I will praise God. I'm never going to retire from praising God. In fact, I would encourage you that as we get older, that our praise would increase. And the only way that our praise of God will increase as we get older is if we spend time in the Word of God. Praise doesn't come from just age. Praise comes from seeking God's face and knowing Him. He says, I will praise the Lord while I have my life in me, to my very last breath. I will praise the Lord. Have you made that commitment with yourself? Have you focused the life that you have here now? The life that God has given to you. What is the purpose of your life? What makes your life meaningful? What drives you? What ambitions do you have with you? What goals do you have with your life? I would hope that your goal is to praise the Lord. That's why He's given you a life. That's why He's saved you. And if you have any other ambition other than that, you are in sin. Let me just say, you are in sin if you have any other ambition than with your whole life to praise God. It's the truth, isn't it? And yet we in our American culture are so soft and silly, are we not? We have such a weak religious Christianity in our country. We just saw on the news a young man who willingly gave his life for the gospel, did he? I admire someone like that. Yet I admire someone as well who lives their whole life for God. I will praise while I still have my life. As long as I live, I will praise the Lord. He says, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I love what he says there. Literally, it says, in my yet being. As long as I exist, I will praise the Lord. Now listen, that is not just this life. That is the life to come as well. This life is just a precursor to the praise that goes on for all of eternity. We will praise the Lord forever and forever. Augustine said it this way, praising God will not cease when we die. Rather, the next life will be characterized by our seeing, loving, and praising God forever and forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is a verse that has in many ways encouraged me and yet haunts me at times. It's a good reminder for us. Listen to this. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Even in our culture, we have it backwards. We really do. We work for 40, 50 years hard. Some people work hard so that one day they can retire and enjoy life. And on occasion, I'm sure that you see those same people, like I do, at the beach, walking around looking for the seashells on the shore. And you think, well, what did they talk to them on occasion? What did you do with your life? I work so hard so I can enjoy it. Is this enjoyable to you? You can't do anything. Why didn't you live your life all the way through? And I think of the same thing with serving God and praising God. I believe that somehow, in some ways, the American culture has crept into our Christianity as well. And we think, well, one day after I'm done working and I save enough money and I can retire, I'm going to really devote myself to serving God. That is foolishness. Foolishness. Why not use the resources that God has given to you now for the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying. Remember also the Lord in the days of your youth, when you could do something for him. Not in the days when you look at the days and say, man, this is going to be tough to get around today. It's going to be hard today. I have no delight in these days. Oh, I guess what I'll do, I'll give it to the Lord. No, serve the Lord while you can. And Augustine said, the idea of praise is something that begins here and is perfected in heaven. I will praise the Lord with all of my life. That's a resolution that we should make today, that every aspect of my life will be formed around the idea that I want to praise God. I want to praise God. Secondly, I will praise the Lord above all others. Notice I've used the word all in each one of these so far. I will praise the Lord with all of my life, and I will praise the Lord above all others. The comprehensive nature that God is worthy of praise, complete praise. So I will praise the Lord above all others. Now we have some stumbling blocks when it comes to praising God, because we want to put our hope in other things and other people, and sometimes even in ourselves. But he says here in verse 3, he gives us a warning. Do not trust in princes, that is, noble ones or rulers or ones that have power. We as human beings many times want to place our faith in people, and we think that they can help us in some way, when we must recognize that God is the one that directs all things. We think that somehow, in some way, that because somebody is powerful, that we can get an edge on life. Or because they have the resources or the fame or the abilities, that we need to hook up with them somehow. And we take our eyes off the Lord and we put our eyes on someone else, and we fall prey to this warning that we should not put our faith in man. Faith in God. Once again, I'm reminded in reading through the book of John recently, when Pilate said to Jesus, do you not answer me? Do you not know that I have the authority to put you to death or to let you live? And he says, no one can have any authority unless it's given to them by God. Love Jesus, man. The ruler, man. He's talking to the ruler. And he says, I'm not intimidated by you. I know the one who gives you all authority, and he is the one I will praise and worship. So not in princes. Not in those, because princes, they look glamorous from the outside. They look powerful. They look like more than man to us, or woman, if you will. But verse 3 says, they are mortal people. Literally, the Hebrew says they're sons of men. There are sons of God and there are sons of men. And princes are just men and women like us. They are mortal beings and there is no salvation in them. Jesus didn't look to Pilate and say, save me from the Jews. He looked to the Father and trusted in him. He says in verse 4, their spirit departs. When he returns to the earth, he will return to dust, for he was made out of dust and returns to dust. And in the day that he returns to dust, his thoughts will perish. On the other hand, how blessed is he whose help is from the God of Jacob and whose hope is in the Lord his God. Do not place your faith in other people. Place your faith in God. Listen to Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think that we're good sometimes at recognizing that no one can come against us, but we need to recognize that really, ultimately, all of our help needs to come from God. So not only what can man do to me, but what can man do for me? Don't fall prey to either one of those. I will praise the Lord above all others. Above my wife, listen, above my friends, above my family, above anything that I have, above myself, I will praise the Lord above all others. Finally, I will praise the Lord for all of his benefits. I will praise the Lord for all of his benefits. I love how the psalmist never gives us empty words. He doesn't just simply say, praise the Lord. He doesn't give us advice like many times people give to us when we're going through difficult circumstances, and they say, well, just trust the Lord. Okay, so what should I trust him for? I don't know, just trust him. No, the psalmist doesn't do that. He gives us meat to his statements, and he tells us why we should praise God. And it's because of all of his benefits. Look in verse 6. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. All these things that we enjoy in life, they come from his hand. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And so we should praise him because he's the one that put the sun there. He's the one that gives us the cloudy days. He's the one that causes the rain to come and the sunshine to come. He's the one that gives us all these things to enjoy. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he holds it all together. He made the sea and all that is in them. All the beautiful things that are there. So we praise him. He is our hope. He's our creator. He's our advocate and our redeemer. He's the one who executes justice for the oppressed. Listen to that once again. He executes justice for the oppressed. God stands up for the oppressed. I find myself all the time asking God to enact his judgment of justice upon this world. I think about it all the time. I don't watch the news that much anymore. You can call me whatever you want to. I can't take it hardly anymore. It's like watching, I remember years ago, I never was really into soap operas, but I've always associated soap operas with being sick. I really have. Because when I was little and I had to stay inside, my grandma would have the soap operas on, and I'd be like, gosh, this is torturous. Not only am I sick, but this show is terrible. And then I'd be sick 6 months later, and I'd say, this thing hasn't changed in 6 months. It's the same thing. And so I've always associated TV and soap operas with being sick. But look at the psalmist here. He's talking about this idea of justice, that God is the one that enacts justice. And I have recently, in the recent elections, obviously scams going on all over the place, right? Scams. And I just had to pray, God, would you let justice somehow come about in this? Would you let the truth prevail in this? Whatever it is, Lord, however people voted. I don't care. However they voted, would you just let it be according to what is truth? I just want some truth, don't you? I want some real justice. I long for truth and justice. One day Jesus is going to fulfill that completely. I long for that because I get so tired of the lies. And he is the truth. He's the advocate of the oppressed. He's the redeemer. He's the one that provides food. He gives food to the hungry. The general principle that God is the one, the earth belongs to him, so anything we eat comes from him. He's the one that provides for the hungry, and he's the one that sets the prisoners free. And we are byproducts of that truth, because we were in our sin and God set us free. He broke the shackles of sin and he set us free. Free to serve him. Free to be enslaved to him. Free to worship him. Free to serve him and praise him with our lives. And so we should praise the Lord for the benefits that he has given to us, that he is our healer and our guardian. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. In a true way, physical way, but also in a spiritual way. He opens our eyes, does he not? I still remember when he opened my eyes to the truth of Christ. I still remember. The scales, it was like the scales fell off. And I said, wow, Jesus, God saved me. God redeemed me. God showed his mercy to me. And I was like, wow, he opened my eyes. I walked out saying, man, God's made me a different person. Because he opened my eyes. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. I love that. Jesus even said that. Humble yourself and God will raise you up. I wonder sometimes, I know in my life, many times I have thought, Lord, why haven't you raised me up? Lord, why haven't you lifted me up? I'm sure we all think about that sometimes. Lord, why haven't you used me? Why haven't you raised me up? And many times the response in my heart has been, maybe I haven't bowed myself low enough yet. It might be that God will never raise you up to where you need to be until you bow yourself down to where you need to be. He raises up the humble, the bowed down ones. The Lord loves the righteous. He adores his people, the ones that he has made righteous. He's our protector and our support in verse 9. The Lord protects the strangers. I love that, strangers. We think of strangers as the strangers. Leave them alone. Nobody will ever know they came. You don't need to talk to them. They probably won't even come back. But God protects the strangers. God looks out for the weak. We, in our culture, we don't look out for the weak that much, do we? We look for the strong because the strong can do something for us. What can the weak do for us except make us look good by serving the weak? We use the weak. God protects the weak. He lifts up the weak. He supports the fatherless and the widow, the helpless people, the ones that can't do anything, the ones that can't help themselves. God is the supporter for those that are helpless. And we should be the same. He is the one that thwarts the wicked. You know that wickedness is held back by the grace of God. If it was not for the grace of God and the Spirit of God, this world would be unbearable. I know it's almost unbearable now. It really is. The more you look at it, the more unbearable it becomes many times. You can't get away from the idea of people that hate God, the true God. Was reading yesterday the wisdom in Jimmy John's restaurant. Look at the placards they have sometimes in there, and one of them is the idea things I learned by the time I was 50. And one of them was this: people that want to freely share their religion with you don't want you to share yours with them. And that's the truth, isn't it? Everybody wants to share their religion, but they don't want anybody else to share theirs with them. And I believe our world, it doesn't want to hear anything about Christ. It wants to listen to every other religion there is, does it not? It wants to make room for every other religion there is, just about, but it doesn't want to make room for Christ. But God rules over the wicked. And the Lord will reign, in verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. He has a ruler, and that ruler is in Mount Zion. That's a reason to praise God. We praise him for Jesus. We praise him for Christ. And so, maybe we would make a resolution to praise God. To praise God for the idea with all my life. That I will praise him with all of my, that I'll praise him above all others, and I will praise him for all of his great benefits that he has given to me. Listen to this in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. I thought this would be a fitting verse for us to close with, a thought from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not a rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, says the Lord. Who are we going to praise? We're going to praise other people? We're going to praise ourselves? Or are we going to praise God? I would pray that we would answer the psalmist in his command to praise the Lord by saying, we will praise the Lord with all of our being. As long as I live, as long as I exist, I will praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word, and would you apply it to our hearts today? Would you help us, Lord, today to walk away with a deeper commitment, a deeper conviction within our souls to praise you with every ounce of our being. Would you, Lord, would you help us to praise you with all of our life, Everything that we do, everything that we think about, everything that we desire, all of our ambitions, all of our goals, would you help us to praise you with all of our life? Lord, in the battles that we face of other things posing as a god to us, as an idol to us, would you help us, Lord, to praise you above all other things? All other things. Would you help us to praise you? Father, we praise you today, for you have greatly blessed us. You have redeemed us. You have saved us. You protect us. You keep us. Lord, you give us food to eat. You give us air to breathe. Lord, you give us life. Help us to use this life to honor you. And we ask it in Christ's name.